Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:02 PM, that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 24th. It has been a very eventful day, particularly in the currency markets and in the commodity markets. So let's first kick off with the dollar. The dollar index has broken below 90. And that is on the back of Donald Trump making some statements in Davos about supporting the weaker dollar, that is supportive of U.S. businesses. And it is also, of course, worth considering that because the S&P 500 is made up of very international companies, that the relative weakness of the dollar boosts their earnings, at least in nominal terms. So that is an important factor. But it is having a particularly eventful move in terms of commodities. So let's first look at oil, which we have Brent crude closing above $70. So that is a successful breakout from what is on this occasion quite a small range relative to what we've seen in the context of this advance since June. So there is the real prospect that the pace of the advance could pick up, and I think that that is worthy of consideration, considering that the majority of energy-related equities have been lagging the oil price, not least because I think investors have justifiably had reservations about supporting the oil price when they know that there is such a large amount of supply out there on the sidelines. Nevertheless, we know that the Saudi Arabians are very keen to get this IPO done for Saudi Aramco, and that means that they're not going to be increasing supply in an aggressive manner ahead of that event, and OPEC is very much in line with that strategy. So they have delivered on higher oil prices, and synchronized global economic growth is a boon for demand. Then we have the gold price, which is right in the region of the upper side of this almost 18-month consolidation. It's worth considering that 18-month consolidations were not at all unusual in that advance that we saw all the way up from the lows in 2002. And these ranges were generally completed in Septembers. And, well, we're not in September right now, but we have had an 18-month consolidation. And when we think about it in those terms, there is the potential here that gold could break out. And if it does break out, well, it has a history of when it does break out of these very volatile ranges, that it trends in a very consistent manner in an explosive fashion. That is half the reason that I think people were really getting into gold, was because when it does break out, it does tend to run on the upside. So I think we have to be at least open to the possibility that we are on the cusp of gold breaking on the upside. And if the dollar continues to move lower, well, then that is going to have a knock-on effect. Now, silver was up in excess of 60 cents in here today. It has lagged the gold price for much of the last 18 months. It is nowhere near the peak that we saw in the middle of 2016. In fact, there has been a downward bias to that range, and it really does need to break that downward bias to confirm we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but at least it is going in the right direction. Now, platinum is in the region of its peaks from last year, and it is looking like it is consolidating above this $1,000 level. We had a key day reversal earlier this week, and we did not have follow through on the downside, but neither was it able to hold its advance all the way through the close in here today. So we could be in for some additional ranging in platinum, and not least because it raced to get from that failed downside break below $900 in December all the way up to the upper side of the range. So this is the question about where people will be asking what happens next. And I guess what happens next is probably we're going to get some consolidation before it can sustain a move up and out of this range. So I think people will start to be looking once more at gold equities. And GDX has been ranging in a very tight manner for all of 2017. And it is now coming back up towards the upper side of this range. So there is the potential that if gold prices can sustain higher levels, much less if they can break out, then that is going to reignite interest in the gold mining sector. And the gold mining sector has gone through a very difficult rationalization period, considering how much it fell between about 2011 and early 2016. So they have pretty much given up on investing in new supply. And that means that any additional upside in the gold price goes right to the bottom line and straight into free cash flow. So they can potentially offer leverage to the gold price in a bullish environment at this stage. And copper, which had pulled back very sharply yesterday, reasserted on the upside here today and was up 11 cents. So that's a higher reaction low. And today's advance was much larger than yesterday's downward dynamic. So what that suggests is that demand is coming back to dominance in a rather emphatic fashion, and that is also rather bullish overall. Now, when we look at the nickel price, it has lagged pretty significantly in terms of what's been going on in the industrial metal complex, but it broke out to new recovery highs in here today. Now, obviously, it has done rather well in the last few weeks, so there is a short-term overbought condition, but that was a pretty emphatic breakout in here today. So it would suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And considering that nickel plays such an important role in the battery technology sector, then there is, I think, significant potential for additional upside. And that is part of the reason why I had bought it in the first place. It only just moved into positive territory from the perspective of my position in here today. So that's, I guess, I feel a little bit vindicated. On the flip side, of course, I still hold the sugar contract, and that is barely steady around $13. I'm not going to hold on to it if it breaks below it. I'll have to just take my lumps. And when we look at the treasury markets, then treasuries have been trending lower since September. There is certainly a short-term oversold condition, but it has not been able to sustain a rally, and this still remains really quite consistent on the downside. I also have a long position in this, which I bought as a hedge against the Nikkei. I probably should have sold it when I sold my Nikkei position, and I'm not going to burn for the faith with this one either. Now, when we look at what's going on in terms of the currency markets, then what's happening with the pound really does stick out. And the pound is up to 142. It has cleared the 140 area versus the dollar. It is, in fact, now back in around the level it was before the Brexit vote. Now, of course, it had already been trending lower for nearly 2 years prior to that vote, but this is a significant pickup in the pace of the advance that's been in evidence since the end of 2016. And we do have a short-term overbought condition. So I think there is potential for some consolidation in here, and not least because of the news that it was associated with it. The euro or the pound has broken out above the 114 level against the euro. Every time it has done this since September, it has failed to sustain the break, and it is going to have to sustain the upward move here and clear the region of that 200-day moving average to confirm that the pound is back in a demand-dominated environment versus the euro. I think there is a realistic possibility that the result of all of the negotiations over the course of the last year and over the next year and all the way through the transition period is likely to result in the UK remaining quite a bit closer to the EU than the people that voted to leave the EU ever considered possible. And there is the realistic possibility that by the time we get whatever the negotiated settlement is brought before Parliament, that there will be a significant number of parliamentarians that will either support it or indeed vote against it. If they vote against it, then the government will fall, or they'll have to call in a referendum. If they call a referendum, and then depending on what the text is, then it may pass or not. So there is certainly a great deal of uncertainty still surrounding it. I think that what we can anticipate is that there's going to be some kind of fudge. And if we get a fudge, then there is the prospect that the pound will continue to rally against the euro. So I think that that is a significant issue here, and the market has been, I think, the best barometer of what to expect from those negotiations. And so far, what it is suggesting is that the pound is going to, or the UK is going to, remain closer to the EU than I think many of the commentators that we see in the financial media, or indeed in the conventional media, are countenancing at the current moment. Well, when we have this volatility in the currency markets, that did contribute to a little pause of consolidation here on Wall Street. What I find particularly interesting, and it will be, I think, worth keeping an eye on tomorrow, is Caterpillar, because the share price has been going sideways for just about the last 10 sessions. Now, they released their orders for December in here today, and they were rather impressive. They were the best since 2011, but what we do have their earnings tomorrow. And when we look at the pace of the advance, such as it has been in 2017, I think we have to conclude that a good share of the good news has already been priced in. And Boeing is another company that has priced in a good deal of good news all the way through 2017, and it has paused over the last few days. So I don't wonder whether we have some rotation going on within the stock market, that some of the shares that did extraordinarily well all the way through 2017 may be giving way to resurgent sectors elsewhere. Certainly, the banking sector has broken out and is looking increasingly likely that it is picking up pace. That is as true in the US as it is elsewhere. For example, the FTSE 350 banks index is looking like it is going to push back up towards the upper side of this evolving, almost decade-long base formation, which has been characterized by a great deal of volatility and moves from trough to peak in excess of 100%, which is, in fact, quite characteristic of base formations generally. It's a very similar story for the Eurozone's banking sector. Now, because we've had this weakness in the pound, then the yen has strengthened up by over a full yen. It has gone through the 110 area, and it is coming back down, or the dollar is coming back down towards the lower side of this evolving range, which has been in evidence now for almost 12 months against the yen. It will have to bounce from the 108 area if the potential for it this range to continue, much less for a dollar rally, is to be given a credulity, or I think, to remain credible. Then the Nikkei, it did push up to above 24,000 yesterday, but it didn't quite hold on to it today. And when we look at the futures contract, when I looked at it earlier, it was down over 300 points. So there is evidence here of some resistance coming in around the 24,000 level. The second section index has been a tower of strength, and but it was down a little bit in here today. It is overextended on the upside. It is approaching this psychological area of resistance around 8,000. So it is not so far away from an area of where a big round number, where it has paused in on previous occasions. So I think that there is the potential here that we're in for some pause of consolidation in the Japanese markets. And the banking sector was also in negative territory in here today, but it has sustained the move above 200. And I think as long as it is holding that advance, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Now, the other stock market that was really worthy of mention in here today was Brazil. It is extending this move above 80,000. And I think we do have to consider that this is in nominal terms, that in real terms, or in US dollar terms, the index had fell much more between 2010 and 2016. But in nominal terms, it is breaking on to new high ground, and not least because it's looking like Lula da Silva will be banned from running for election. Now, the real has been strengthening up, and it is coming back up towards the upper side of its range against the US dollar. And that is all to the good, considering that it was one of the weaker currencies in the world between 2011 and 2015, that the resurgence in commodity prices is helping to drive the, I think, resurgence in interest in commodity currencies. So, for example, the South African rand is back below 12 and is extending its breakout against the US dollar, and not least again because the Zuma government has, or at least Zuma is in the process of being removed, and anyone replacing him will be an improvement from the perspective of international investors, at least. So, I think that's also an important consideration. Then, when we look at the Australian dollar, well, there are a number of moving parts, but the not least because of the overweight position that the banks have in the ASX 200. But the Australian dollar is also a commodity-related currency, and it is now through the 80-cent level. There has been a clear progression of higher reaction lows within this evolving base formation since the beginning of 2016, and it is looking increasingly likely that it will improve upon that position. Now, the ASX 200 has been not particularly impressive so far this year. It's one of the few indices that is actually on the downside, but we did have an upside key reversal yesterday and some follow-through on the upside in here today, and what that suggests is that the break above 6,000 is going to be sustained, and that we may just get some additional ranging as the short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean is unwound. But it does look like that with global economic growth and the return to performance of the commodity sector, then that should translate into a better performance for the Australian market generally. And the ASX 300 Resources Index was in positive territory as well in here today. Now, that is somewhat more overextended relative to the trend mean than the ASX 200. But we are back in a recovery trajectory for commodities. So I think that is likely to continue to surprise on the upside this year. The commodity complex did very well in 2016 and did almost nothing at all in 2017. So I think that having gone through an almost year-long hiatus, then the potential here is that we're going to see a re-rating and potential upside again for these cyclical sectors. So commodities, banks, and biotech are the primary cyclical sectors that are returning to performance in the current environment. And I think as long as that remains the case, then as long as they are continuing to perform, well, that will be supportive of the view that we are still in the latter stages of this medium-term bull market. But the reality is that when we look at the global stock market outlook, that there was some negative territory in here today, but the commodity complex, the countries in particular, have done best, and we do have short-term overbought conditions in a significant number of markets, but we're not really getting anything in the way of clear downward dynamics. The one that pulled back most was the FTSE 100, because of the relative strength of the pound. The pound leapt higher today, so that is taking a chunk out of the FTSE 100. But when we look at this on the longer term basis, the most important thing it's done has clear is to clear the 7,000 level, and it is looking increasingly likely now that the short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean is about to be unwound, and that is of course assuming that the pound strength is sustained, which is well has yet to be demonstrated. I think is probably the best way to think about it. Then, I posted a number of charts yesterday looking at the Chinese market, and the Hang Seng was up another almost 28 points in here today. Again, this is really quite overbought in the short term, so a clear downward dynamic would likely signal that we're into the next period of consolidation, and it is in the region of previous resistance. So I think the more important point is not so much how much more it is going to extend this advance, but will it hold the 30,000 level now, having successfully broken above it on the next pullback? So I think this is still a very exciting time in markets, and that we know that we're in the latter stages of a medium-term bull market, and there is increasing evidence of acceleration, but so far we don't have a great deal of evidence that the acceleration is over. And if that is indeed the case, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and that this is the time to be most vigilant for monitoring the consistency of trends. In the meantime, the commodity complex still has ample potential to play catch up, and we're seeing increasing evidence of that possibility in here today. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.